I would rather fellowship with one person as a member of the body of Christ than to spend it in an auditorium of unsaved people. Not that they don't need Christ, but the bond we share is a glorious bond, and I'm thankful for each one of you that is here today. And what an awesome God we serve. On Wednesday nights, we're going to talk about the attributes of God. And it starts out with God is. And our God is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything that even hasn't occurred yet. He is all-knowing. And He knew all about our present situation today. And He has ordained it. It's coming to pass. And if you look through the Bible, what is the biggest problem, not sin? Sin caused all the problems. But what is the biggest problem in the human race in relationship to their lives, especially the saved? What's the biggest struggle? What would you say it was? That's on the negative side, and that's true. The flesh is almost our enemy. It's contrary to the Spirit. The Bible teaches that very clearly. But what is the struggle in our lives? Why aren't all of us tens as far as being Christians? Why aren't every one of us perfect? That's a big factor in it. And what does that teaching bring about? Remove your mind, faith. But that's where we're going. But 'cause faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by? And so the biggest struggle we have is faith. And faith is more than just knowing what this says right here. That is memory. You know, there are people who can memorize humongous parts of the Bible. I don't know how many people are familiar with J. Vernon McGee. But in churches that have youth programs, like the church we had in Beloit had a youth program. And every week they'd come together and study the Bible, and we'd give them verses to memorize. And like my children are in Awana, and they memorized hundreds of verses. And J. Vernon McGee said once that just knowing what the Bible says isn't enough. He says, we used to have a bunch of children here that could quote hundreds of verses, and they are the worst little brats you ever saw. You could say that even about some adults, maybe. And so it's more than just knowing doctrine, knowing teaching, knowing these things. It's faith, really believing those things. Amen. That's how you do it. I believe it's called the obedience of faith. A lot of people preach obedience, and you get a lot of legalistic Christians as a result of that. That I don't smoke, drink, or chew, or go with girls that do, and all of that kind of stuff. We don't do this, and we're always looking at what we're not doing, and things we used to do and don't do, and all of that. That isn't faith. That's just a lot of times willpower or something. I mentioned the idea, the difference between abstinence and deliverance. All of us can abstain due to our circumstances, due to our strength of willpower, whatever that might be. But to be delivered is not to have any battle in it whatsoever. You just walk through life. That's what faith will do for us. That's the challenge in every person's life. And where does that faith come from? It comes from the Word, and it's important that the Word is taught, I believe, rightly divided. But also, it comes from God. It comes with a submissiveness to God. If I talked about my faith, I'd be talking about what I believe. And that's the key. Do you really believe what it says? And if we really believe that, it will transform your lives. And I'm of the opinion, again, that whether we choose to believe it or not is irrelevant. We either believe it or we don't. And our will cannot conjugate belief. We can try to believe something. All of you have experienced it some way in your life. You can try to believe something, but you have doubts, or you just don't believe it. And yet you can tell people, well, I believe that. Remember the guy going across the Niagara Falls? He went across like this on a tightrope, and when he got to the other side, he put a whole bunch of stuff on him, all kinds of a burden on him, and he walked back with all that on him. And then when he got done that time, he says, do you believe I could do that with you on my back? And the guy says, sure. And so he says, well, get on my back then. Then he didn't really believe it anymore. I often have that feeling about that thing up here at that Indian reservation where you walk out over the Grand Canyon. You know, we've seen hundreds and hundreds of people, you know, have been on that. I'll bet you some even went like this a little bit. But do you believe it holds you? It held all of them. If you really believe things, you'll walk by faith. You'll walk ahead by faith. If you are trusting sight, and you look between, ooh, that's a long ways down. I remember marching in a band once. We went across a bridge. It was steel, and it was open. It had about 1-inch squares in it. And if you looked through those squares down to the water that was 150 feet below you or something, you started to walk lighter. It was just natural. I believed it would protect me, but I just really didn't have complete faith. If you really have faith, you could walk into the den of lions. You could, like when they said, our God can spare us if he chooses to. But if he doesn't choose to, we will not bow down to your idols. That's what faith is all about. And so if we really believe what we say we believe, then we will walk differently than other people. It will just be natural because of the power of God in you. And so that's what I want to talk about today. And so our God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's with us today. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, you don't need two or three to gather together for Christ to be here. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, he's living in you right now. Now, I'm not suggesting for a second that you say, well, then I don't have to come to church. I can go out in the deer hunting or something out in the middle of, not that that's bad or anything like that, but, and God's out there too. Yes, that's true, and you'll be just as close to God out there as you will be here because you know Christ lives in you. And he's omnipotent, all-powerful. And this is the one I think we really sort of doubt with. We look at God and we say, yeah, he can do anything except a few things. He can't sin, he can't lie, and all of those things. But he is omnipotent. He created all this. Do you all believe that? That God really created everything that's been created? Because what does that lead up to next then? If God created it all, why did he create it all? You know why? All things were created by him and what? For him. It's all his. He can do with it whatever he wants. He's sovereign. And that's a scary thought to a lot of people, especially the unsaved, those that are secular humanists and those that are atheists and everything else. But for those of us that are believers in Jesus Christ, what a privilege it is to just trust that God, who created everything, who owns everything, has the right and the authority to do with it whatever he wishes. Now that's a scary thought, to put that kind of power into somebody's hands, like the president of our nation, and I'm not speaking directly to the one today, but he's a pretty good example of it. All the power that he has, our country was established so that he wouldn't have all the power. But why not? Because you can't trust him. Not because he's who he is, he's human. And you can't trust human beings to always do the right thing. They may be totally sincere. They may think with all their heart they're doing the right thing, and it might be still totally wrong. But we don't have to have that fear of our God. I find it a great privilege and a great peace to trust God for everything. Now, that doesn't mean, well, I don't have to go to work then. God will take care of me. Well, that is true, but that's not the way His words ordained it. It says, he that doesn't work shouldn't eat. That type of thing. So we trust God as believers in Jesus Christ, with Him living in us, to complete His plan and purpose for our lives. And so that doesn't mean that I trust God, I go home and get in my lazy boy and kick back and say, I'm not getting up again until God picks me up. That's almost rebellion. Instead, we should enter the day saying, Lord, here I am again this morning. I give myself to You. I present myself as a living sacrifice for Your purpose and Your glory. And then I walk by faith, really believing what His Word tells me about all of that. And we'll conclude this message with that in a little bit, not now. In a little bit. But let's look at some of the things that are mentioned in this little passage right here. Characteristic, words that are characteristic of our God. And so in that passage, it talks about in verse 3, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That is a declaration of fact. As a believer in Jesus Christ, God has blessed me with all spiritual blessings. Then let's look down in verse 4, the last two words if you're in a King James Bible. It says, in love. And then down a little further, verse 6, in the beloved. There's other phrases in the Bible that talks about things in this passage. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us. It's for the praise of His glory, in accordance with His pleasure and will, according to His good pleasure. God has done all of this for us, because He loves us, because of His grace, and because of His sovereign purpose and plan. And it pleased Him to do that. My position on the sovereignty of God, I find it very humbling, and I take no pride in anything in myself, but I give all the glory to God for everything. Now, in my flesh, it's not that way. In my flesh, I like to say, well, I did this, I did that. But in reality, it is God that has allowed it all to happen. I finally found a verse that I've been hunting for a long time. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Talking about Israel, but I believe it is a horizontal truth. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with, let's start with verse 10. Now again, this is in relationship to Israel, but I think we, particularly as members of the body of Christ, can also apply it in our lives. Verse 10, Deuteronomy 8, 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions in drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of the flint, rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thou fathers knew not, which he might humble thee, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, and that he might establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And so God was reminding Israel that even though they had consequences or circumstances in their lives, God always provided them whatever they needed and more to continue on in their walk with him. There's an interesting verse in the Bible someplace, and I can't remember. I wasn't even intending to say it today, but I found it. I think it's in Psalms or Proverbs. It says something to this effect: feed me with food convenient for me, that I might not have too much and forget about you, or too little and steal. And when I became a believer, and shortly thereafter, I saw that verse, and so I prayed it with all my heart. And I think the Lord wants me just above stealing. No, not really. He's been very gracious to us also, please. But that's when you start to grow, when you trust in the sovereignty of God. God will give you everything you need and more, particularly grace. The Word teaches clearly that his grace has superabounded to us. And so we can walk in a faith that is filled every day with thanksgiving if we set our affections on things above and not on the things of this earth. And I can guarantee you, if you set your affections on the things of this earth, you'll be disappointed. It may be good for a while, but you'll be disappointed. I think I just heard a statistic just recently that 80% of the retired NFL football players are bankrupt. 80% don't have enough money to make a living, and yet they make fortunes. Now, maybe not in the old days, but they make plenty nowadays, and I was always amazed by those things. We're not content or blessed by what we really have in this material world. We are content and blessed when we are thankful for what we do have. And we have more than the whole world could ever amass. We have more than all of that in Christ. And so when we start to talk about these things, it's our desire to respond with faith. And wherever you are in your life today, I just submit to you to submit to God, to just say, Lord, I trust in you. Help me in my unbelief, strengthen my faith, and I'll walk in it. And he's told us he'll do that. Faithful is he that has called you, he will do it. And so what a privilege we have. There's also all these things that we just read in Ephesians are found in a certain sphere, in a certain locale, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. Everything that we have in the spiritual realm comes to us because of our position in Jesus Christ. Again, that's not anything that I've done to get that. It's by God's grace. And so there are truths here that we just read that say things like, through Jesus Christ, in the one he loves, which he purposed in Christ, in him we were chosen, and those that hope in Christ. It would be a fearful thing to be under a dictator today, as we've seen it in other countries. Remember Amini, whatever his name was, and Idi Amin, how horrific that was to be under somebody that was a sovereign for that country. And we can see that all over in Soviet Union and Russia and all those places in the past that were under sovereign dictatorships like Stalin and Hitler and all those places. But we don't have to even try to identify our God with that type of fear, because we have the full assurance of His love for us. Our God is a God of love. Again, those attributes we're going to go through in the Bible study on Wednesday nights. Our God is a God of love, a God of grace, a God of justice, a God of holiness, a God of righteousness. It just goes on and on. And so how blessed we are to have a sovereign, omnipotent God ruling over us, that we can trust Him, that He would never in any way do anything that would violate His characteristics, His attributes. And yet in His justice, He has a wrath against the lost, the sinful side of all human beings. And one day that wrath is going to be poured out. But for those of us that have trusted Jesus Christ, we've been delivered from that wrath to come. We've been brought into His family as His children, and we can have total rest and confidence in Him, that He loves us, that His Son died for us. And here is some quick verses, and I think you have them on your paper. 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified, declared righteous by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? When we read these things, believe just what they say. Trust the Spirit of God to convince you of God's love for you. That old saying about it's hard to be peaceful when you're knee-deep in a swamp of alligators. We don't have to be that way, because we are totally inundated in the love of God, totally surrounded by His providential care for us. Now, how many of you are going to get out of this world alive? Thank God you've been saved before you leave here. That's the only thing that really matters, that you've trusted Jesus Christ to have died for your sins. Once you've done that, to tell you the truth, the quicker you get out of here, the better off you are. But God has a purpose for you. Every one of you people here today, I believe, are still here. Each one of you is still here because God has a purpose that hasn't been fulfilled in your life yet. And I believe you'll be here until that purpose is fulfilled. And then He'll take you home to be with Him, which is the great reward. So we don't have to fear death. We can embrace it. And we, not that we look forward to death, because that's just a little blip. We're never going to die in our spiritual walk. We're just going to transition from this present evil world into the presence of our Lord and Savior for all eternity. So whatever purpose He has for our lives, we can accept and embrace by faith alone, knowing that He loves us. And so our God is a God of love. He's also a God of grace. And we're very familiar with a lot of these verses, so I won't take the time to go through them all. But let's just make sure we touch a couple. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Where does worry fit into this? It doesn't. Where does doubting God or saying, woe is me, or anything like that, fit in to this. It just doesn't. Anytime you're feeling sorry for yourself, you've got your eyes off from the heavenly things and are looking on the earthly things. And now again, it's easier said than done. So if you struggle with that, if you struggle with a lack of faith, not that you'll have to know the outcome. How's it going to turn out? We know how it's going to turn out ultimately. God's made that clear to us. One day we'll all be gathered together to be with Him forever, some sooner than others. And so the faith that we're to have is to be able to walk with that confidence today, that nothing in this world can ever undo or diminish the truth of God's Word for us as members of the body of Christ. Now, I know there's pain and tribulation and suffering in this life, but the sooner we're done with this life, the better off we're going to be. And that's a tough thing to believe, but that's the truth of God's Word. And so we have all the grace that we can abound with sufficiency in all things. Like Paul, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 12:9. Paul was having a physical struggle. And there's been a lot of debate about what it is, but we know he was having a struggle with something. He prayed 3 times to have this thorn in his flesh removed. And God's answer was here. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul goes on to say, most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When Paul was at a place in his life, and it's my prayer for myself and for all of you, that you will come to that place in your life, and that I will come to that place in my life, that I can look at every situation that comes into my life and not be anxious about it. That with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I can make my request known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth understanding will fill my heart and my mind through Christ Jesus. That's the place that Paul was in his walk. Boy, you know, this unbiblical teaching for the church, the body of Christ, that if you're really serving God and you're doing His will, He's going to just shower abundant material blessings on you. That's not found any place in the gospel of the grace of God. You cannot measure your spiritual walk by your material wealth in this world in any way. You can't measure it by your physical health. You can't measure it by anything but the truth of God's Word. And He never promises us health and wealth and all of those things today. But He does promise us this, that we can have peace that passeth understanding. And that's more important than any of the other things. Another statistic that I just saw someplace was about the people that have so much wealth and they have no peace. They have no contentment. They can buy anything they want and it won't do it for them. We have that promise in God's Word, that if we will submit ourselves by faith, not we can't, and that's the part that's hard. You can't choose, Lord, I choose to believe you. No, Lord, I believe you. Choosing it won't do it. I believe you. That's the only way. And you can say that and maybe not mean it. The only way is by the grace of God and the Spirit of God convincing you of the truth of these words. And so my prayer is, Lord, teach me your truth. Just like I believe when I was saved, the Spirit of God convinced me of the truth of the gospel. And when I was convinced, I believed it. And that's the way it is as we walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk in the Spirit and we trust in the truth of God's Word. And our God is a God of grace, so we can rest in that. His grace is sufficient for us. Let's look at Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31 says, What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. What that basically is saying is, there's nothing, nobody, no behavior, anything that can be laid against you now. Because God has declared you righteous in His sight. Now that may be honest, they may be truthful. You may do things, you may have done things in your past that were terrible things. But God isn't holding any of that ever against you again. He's removed all of that forever and given you the very righteousness of Christ on your account. And there is no way that that righteousness, they talk about the white robes of righteousness and all of that, there is no way that those robes ever get dirty or dusty or stained in any way, because nobody, nothing can be laid against you. And that's all because of God's grace and because of your position in Jesus Christ. And so our God's a God of love, and our God is a God of grace, and our God is sovereign. And to me, that's one of the most marvelous truths in all the world. God created it all. It all belongs to Him. And He makes statements in His Word like, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will harden whom I will harden. Man says, that's not fair. That's not right. Now you're maligning God. Because He said it, I didn't. And He says, I raised Pharaoh up for this purpose. It was his Pharaoh. Pharaoh belonged to God, even though Pharaoh didn't know it. Who is the clay to tell the potter, why have you made me this way? I don't know about you, but I've started projects at home, something I was going to build or something I was going to create, and got going on it and got fed up with it and threw it in the trash. Well, that's not fair. Those parts wasn't their fault. Now they're in the trash. I mean, we look at those things, but we don't think about us in that way. Oh, no, we're more important than trash. Well, that may be true, but we belong to God. And who are we to tell Him what to do with us? But man would like to be able to think he has that power. Man would be able to think that, God, you don't have any right to treat me this way. Well, if you believe God's Word, He has every right. In fact, He's done that in the Bible over and over again. What happened? Let's quickly go back to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And then jump down to verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. At that point in the human existence, God was ready to throw us in the trash. And thank God, by his grace, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And eight people were spared. A little later in Genesis, actually it might be, no, it's still in Genesis, God appeared to Abraham and separated him, and Abraham and his nephew Lot came with him, and then Lot moved to Sodom and Gomorrah, and then the God, or Christ probably, a Christophany or whatever it's called, and a couple angels came down and visited with Abraham, and then God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he thought, it's best I tell Abraham what I'm going to do. So he tells Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And what was Abraham's response? You remember? He said, surely, God, you would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Well, that was if God's going to destroy something, would he ever destroy the righteous? He could, but because he is a righteous God, he wouldn't destroy the righteous. So Abraham's initial response was one of a lack of faith or trust in God. Later he says, but it's up to you, God. You are God. You can do what you do. But then he said, but God, if there's 50 righteous there, what if there's 50? You certainly won't destroy 50 righteous with the whole city. And God says, I will not destroy the city if there's 50 righteous there. And Abraham continues to plead with God. Now, of course, this is strictly from Abraham's side, because you can't really negotiate with God. God knows what he's going to do, and he's going to do it. And so ultimately it gets down, if there's 10 righteous. Well, it doesn't really say this, but how many got out of there? It does say it, but it doesn't say they're righteous. But how many got out of there? Not 8 this time, I don't think. How many got out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Initially 4, and then it ended up with 3. And all the rest. Now, every little baby, every little fetus that hadn't been born yet, all of those things were destroyed from the face of the earth. And they were warned, don't look back. And Lot's wife looked back. She didn't have faith. It's all about faith. It's really not about behavior. We're missing the boat. I will guarantee you that if you have faith, if you really believe things, your behavior will fall in line. That is the obedience of faith. And we have a sovereign God that's directing our lives today. And our responsibility is not so much what we do, but what we truly believe. And if God's word speaks to us, and I don't know about you, but a lot of times, all of a sudden I'm reading something, and all of a sudden I just know that's true and it's talking to me. And that's what faith is all about. You now believe it by the grace of God. And that's what I encourage all of you, to believe that God loves you, that he's a God of grace, but so important that he's sovereign over all the affairs of man from the very beginning to the end. And we have been given the glorious outcome of an eternity with him by his grace. So let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for the truth of your word. And we bow before you and acknowledge you as our sovereign God that loves us, our sovereign God that has done all of this for his purpose and his glory. And by your grace, we have been included as your children in the church, the body of Christ. And so we acknowledge you and you alone as the God of all grace, the God of love, that is sovereign, and we submit ourselves to you. Lord, I pray that you'll continue to teach us all that you would have us know for your purpose and your glory. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.